You are Locked On Raptors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hey, how's it going? Welcome to episode number 483 of Locked On Raptors for Tuesday, May 26th. March 26th. It's not May, you idiot. March 26th. I'm your host, Sean Woodley of RaptorsHQ.com. You can find me on Twitter, as always, at WoodleySean. Find the show at Locked On Raptors. You can find links to every single episode. Please subscribe, rate, and review to all the Locked On Podcast Network shows that you dig and that you want to support. It's the best way to show your support and make sure we're getting more visibility and more higher spots in the rankings and all that good stuff. Also, do it on all the podcast apps you use: iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, and also Himalaya, which is a new podcast app that we have a partnership with the Locked On Podcast Network. It's very good for curating your own playlists and kind of making a personalized podcast experience. So make sure you're downloading Himalaya and listening to the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On Raptors there as well. All right, on today's show, I'm joined for, I think, what's become my favorite type of episode, by Katie Heindel, for an episode where we just talk about a thing that's weird. This is my favorite kind. What's up?
Hi. Yeah, it's my favorite kind, too. It's the kind that you also invite me on for most frequently.
Yes. I mean, no one does weird quite like you.
I feel like it's our co-brand now.
Yeah, I won't claim to be quite as in touch with the weirdness of the NBA as you are, but I will definitely hitch my wagon to your coattails and ride through it with you. The thing we're talking about today, I think for the fourth or fifth time we've done it, is an episode of How Hungry Are You? We've been waiting for so long for a new episode to drop, ever since the Danny Green, Jonas Valanciunas, Lots of Snakes episode of How Hungry Are You? That was pretty good. Little tame in terms of the food Serge was making. It was a pig's head, and Jonas was like, yeah, I eat that shit all the time. So it wasn't like, there's no shock value to it, really. But he's got a new episode out, and he's got four episodes coming up, apparently, in the next little while here before the playoffs, including today's episode with Marc Gasol, and also Pau Gasol, who ended up just like inviting himself, apparently. Or Mark invited him without telling Serge, or maybe Serge was in on it the entire time. We could discuss. But if you haven't watched the video, pause the podcast now, go to Serge Ibaka's YouTube, watch the episode, because it's going to be kind of necessary to understanding the podcast. We'll play some clips and stuff throughout it. But you know how this works at this point. Katie, what were your thoughts on the long-awaited return? I guess this is season two now of How Hungry Are You?
Anticlimactic.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think so.
I guess when there's snakes in one, like, you're expecting wild animals in all of them now, I guess?
No, not so much that, though. I did really like the snakes, but we waited for so long, and this one was, like, teased for a long time and, like, really hyped up, and we knew that, like, the production value was going to get a bit slicker, mm-hmm. You know. It seems like his whole house got remodeled, so there's a lot riding on this one. But, you know, a bit anticlimactic for me.
Yeah, I would agree. The food choice, which we'll get to, was a little more it was along the line of the pig's head, and not, you know, similar to the worms he cooked for DeMar DeRozan or the lamb brain he cooked for the bench mob. I feel like he's maybe lost a bit of his edge, or maybe he's just cooked all of the gross things and is now resorting to, like, more regular stuff. I don't know. But in this episode, he cooks for the Gasol brothers cow heart, which I don't think I've had before. Actually, one time in, like, grade 6, we dissected a cow heart in class. That was cool. Looked way less appetizing than what Serge made. But yeah, I've never had cow heart before, but it seems like a thing that I would have no problem eating. It looks pretty tasty. Marc Gasol says in the course of the episode that it's a lot like liver. And I'll mess with some liver. I got nothing wrong with that. So we'll get to the food preparation process in the beginning, but I guess we should talk. You mentioned the improved production value, and I think, I'm not sure if Yahoo is involved with it or not, or is it just our friend Alex Wong, who got to do some scripting and stuff like that. Like, there's definitely an uptick in the production value of it. There's definitely someone with a keen eye for editing and sequencing who is in charge of sort of putting it all together. And Alex is there, I think, kind of adding some of the levity and some of the sort of narrative structure to it, I guess, is what his role is there. Actually, I guess Alex was on Will Lose podcast today, and you could probably listen to him talk about that, but we're going to totally speculate before listening to that podcast.
But I feel like I think definitely he's involved,
mm-hmm.
But I think there's, like, a silent investor. There's some money going into this now,
because yeah.
They've obviously maybe fired their old cameraman.
Lorenzo Brown, man. Been a rough year for him.
Out of a job again.
I think he's playing in China now, so he's probably doing okay.
Got a job again. But this, yeah, like, the way it's so dramatic, the way that it starts, and mm-hmm. I thought that was kind of interesting because it was almost like Open Gym-esque, you know?
Yeah.
And it was also, like, unrelated completely to... and also completely staged. But... I think, like, maybe it was that. Do you think that was a way to tie this into, like, the last time we saw an ep which had Jonas on it, and now Jonas is gone, and so, you know, naturally everybody's thinking about the trade deadline, so we got to start with Serge assuring us he's not been traded, but we now know from quite a while that he's still here.
Yeah, I mean, the opening minute or so that you're referencing, I do think it's probably... some sort of way to tie together the Jonas episode and then Marc Gasol being on this one. And more so to, like, alarm people that Marc Gasol is on the Raptors now, that Serge has not been traded. There is no mention of Jonas, really. He gets a little bit of airtime in the brand new opening sequence, which is pretty cool looking, but... like the credit sequence, that is, but he doesn't really talk about Jonas. He's like, oh, Jonas got traded? He doesn't really say that. He just kind of asks who they got, and it's Marc Gasol. So I do think it's more just setting up what's happening on the episode. But yeah, it's a very strange choice. We know what happened. It's been so long. And I guess I'm wondering if maybe the episode's coming up in the future, if the intro will just kind of be based on whatever was going on in Serge's life at the time. So I'm wondering if there's going to be some sort of sequence related to the fight with Marquise Chris, for the Kawhi episode or something like that. I would be very much on board with that.
Oh, yeah. I think it's definitely to ramp up the dramatic value of, yeah. I guess it's supposed to be a dramatic show, but it hasn't been that dramatic.
I think it's a comedy.
It's a comedy, and now the food, which was supposed to be the most dramatic thing, is the least.
Yeah, that's it is a very objectionable editorial change, I think. I'm pausing now on the look of his face when he asks who they got, and he's just like nodding with like very large eyes, like hell yeah, and then goes into the credit sequence.
It is like so dark, like, yeah. Dark. I'm like, not dark in feeling, but just like the recording of that.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. It's really like high stakes. Anyway.
Yeah, so carrying on, we get the new credit sequence, which is very good, well done. Again, someone who's professional is definitely taking care of this thing. This is the first I've gotten a look. We didn't do the Bismack Biyombo episode, did we?
No, we didn't.
Yeah.
We gotta go back.
I don't know what the hell he made for Bismack Biyombo, but it looks terrifying. It might be like,
is it a tongue?
It might be a tongue, although yeah, it looks
a tongue for sure.
Okay, all right, that makes sense then. That's not that gross then, but
no,
it looks jarring. But anyway, the sequence is nice. I like it. It looks good. Chris Tucker's in there. We never ended up talking about that episode, but that was kind of a half-ass episode, I think. And we're here for the production value and the cooking. I also like the new like graphics and everything. They're pretty professionally done. And then we go straight into the kitchen, and we have Serge preparing the cow heart. Thoughts on the food? This is the thing that I fixate on all the time when it comes to this show, is the food preparation stuff. That's the thing. I watch a lot of Food Network. I feel like I have a pretty good eye for this kind of thing. And I do feel like Serge has gotten better at the cooking show host aspect of the whole thing. What were your thoughts on his preparation of the cow heart?
Yeah, I liked them showing like the high kind of scenes and then the steps,
mm-hmm.
and like the sped up sort of like when he's putting all the spices in. And
yeah, the time lapse. Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, this is cool. This looks like what we were complaining about before that we never got to see. But then it just also, it just kind of stops.
Yeah.
Because I think step three is it's just like, cook it. But it's not like, what temp, how long. Like, you don't know any of that stuff. So it's like, I think there's like a little bit more tweaking to come, but I like what they've done.
Yeah, we have him dressing the hunk of cow heart he's got there. So step one, cut the fat, which good stuff. That is very good sequencing. I like it a lot. I think it looks really good. And it makes the piece of meat he's working with look pretty appetizing when the finished product comes out. Step two is marinate the heart, which he doesn't say with what, which is a big problem for me. Like, there should be a little recipe card that he's going through on the side, as you would see on most of these cooking shows. Where it's just like, you know, a lady who has a house in the Midwest making a mac and cheese with a pie. Like, having that sort of, like, how to do it on the side would be very handy here. He's holding the ingredients up to the camera, but you can't tell what they are. No. I'm guessing one is, like, balsamic vinegar, because it looks kind of like balsamic vinegar. And then he's got a couple spices he throws on there. I do appreciate, once again, leading into the idea that his secret ingredient is salt and pepper.
But this is like some specific salt and
pepper. Yeah, I'm getting to it here. I'm going to pull it up in a sec to get the confirmation once he finally finishes. It's a very long time lapse. He spent a lot of time. Okay, here we go. We got the secret ingredient.
It's not complete without my favorite ingredient. Salt and pepper. And this salt is come from Lake Minnetonka.
Why don't you purify yourself in the waters of Lake Minnetonka?
And pepper from Spain. And me from Congo. Original man. 100%.
And then just like the liveliness with which he uses the salt and pepper really sort of sells that this is his favorite ingredient. He's like dancing while he's shaking the salt, which is pretty cool. I like it. I'm pretty concerned about cross-contamination here because I think he's using both of his hands.
Yeah, I thought about that.
Yeah.
Every time he added something. Because he never wipes his hands. Like, he never,
yeah.
You know, he's just going into all that. And I assume he's got somebody side stage wiping down.
Yeah.
The bottles.
Yeah, he's just got like they hired a Clorox wipe guy.
Yeah.
Hopefully that wasn't Alex's job. Hopefully Alex's job was a little bit more dignified than that. But that's so we continue on. Sorry, go ahead.
I was thrilled as we continue to see his favorite garnish / ingredient come back.
Yeah, I have thoughts on this.
Spring mix.
Yeah.
Ubiquitous spring mix.
Spring mix and cherry tomatoes.
And cherry tomatoes,
yes,
favorite.
That's what, two of the last three episodes.
Yeah.
Did he make a side for the pig head, or was it just a pig head that he gave out?
No, it was the pig head on some spring mix with cherry tomatoes.
Okay.
I think the suggestion was it could be a side.
So yeah, this is my biggest beef right now, is that. Is that Serge is very protein heavy in his cooking. He hasn't shown me a ton of versatility when it comes to the, you know, what he's able to make. It's just a lot of proteins. Also, I like the little note, cooking tip, use a wet cloth under your cutting board to avoid slips.
I enjoyed that. And I also think someone just told him.
Yeah. Like, why is it slipping so much? And then someone comes in. Actually, Lorenzo Brown is now the towel guy. if they had to keep him around for something. Do you use a cutting board, like a cloth under your cut, or do you just have a cutting board that like sticks to the counter?
No, I don't have like such beautiful countertops as Serge does. I think it's a problem when you have like beautiful marble or quartz countertops. I don't have that, so my cutting boards usually they're stay in place.
I have cutting boards that have like little grippy things that you put it down and then they don't slide at all because they're like rubber.
There you go. Yeah, there you go.
Maybe Serge should get one of those.
I think, but maybe someone should give him one.
Yeah.
But this is the thing we need to like maybe become clear on, because we're like, is it a cooking show? And we critique it as such because we were like, it should have this, it should have this. And I agree, like, I want it to be a little bit more of a cooking show.
Mm-hmm.
And also like, you know, but then the reason why he's making one dish is because it's still like the fear factor kind of shock value thing.
True. That's
so
fair.
I think it's now like straddling that line,
mm-hmm,
of like what it wants to be. you know?
Yeah, I almost wonder if maybe, like, the shock and awe...
I don't know what it's going
to
be.
I wonder if maybe the shock and awe of the early episodes was maybe the way to sort of grab the attention. And then he can kind of, now that people watch, he's got, like, 350,000 views on this thing. Like, maybe now that people are roped in and are going to tune in for every episode, and maybe as the guests become more the highlight, because you've got Kawhi coming up, because you've got Kyle Lowry coming up as well. And who's the other one? There's someone else. Oh, Jeremy Lin's coming up too. So because you have all of those guests now, maybe they could be the driver. In particular, Jeremy Lin, who everyone likes on the internet, and Kawhi, who everyone's going to tune in just to see what he says. I wonder if maybe now is where he can kind of flex his culinary might a little bit, and kind of refine and hone his skills to the point where he's not just making shocking proteins and is more shocking proteins. It's a very strange thing to say, but he's like branching out to make sides as well. Like, what kind of sides would you like to see Serge maybe accompany a lot of these things that he's cooked over the last few episodes with?
I want to see some, like, complimentary sides, you mm-hmm. know, sides maybe we're not familiar with as a pairing mm-hmm. for his freaky proteins.
Yeah.
So I don't know, maybe some, like, I think he needs a starch in there for most of them that could help, like
a nice root vegetable mash flavors. Would have been really nice with the cow heart, I think.
Yeah. And then, I mean, maybe just one side to start.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see him put one of these ingredients into a more elaborate dish.
Yeah, sort of do the chopped approach, right, where you're elevating the ingredient and not just cooking it as is.
Yeah, because then the shock could be someone's eating it and they're like, wow, this is so good. What's in it?
Wow, this cordon bleu is so delicious. What's the ham made out of? And then we find out the ham is something wild.
Eyeballs.
Also, he used, like, I've never seen coconut oil. I guess I don't really cook with coconut oil. I just use olive oil typically. I have a different array of infused olive oils that I tend to use based on what I'm making. But he uses the coconut oil, but it's like solid that he puts in the pan to melt it down. A lot like butter, I guess, if you were to put butter in a pan. But it looks just like face cream.
Very basic thing for you to say.
What?
No, that's fair. I guess I'd cook with coconut oil and olive oil. I feel like sometimes you gotta switch your oils up.
Okay.
I think he used coconut oil in this instance because it has a higher flash point, so you can have it at a higher heat for a longer time, and it won't start to smoke and burn like olive oil will.
That's a good point. I swear to God,
no,
I cook a lot. I do cook a lot. I just have never really branched out to coconut oil, I guess. That, if that makes me basic, guilty, I suppose. But
and it also, it becomes hard in the wintertime. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's always a nice sign of summer, is when your coconut oil becomes liquid again.
I think I'm going to go get coconut oil.
Try it out.
Next time I go grocery shopping.
But a little goes a long way.
Okay.
Less than olive oil, that's I'll tell you that much.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah.
All right.
It's our own cooking show. Thanks for tuning in.
A cooking podcast. I wonder if that is ground that anyone's broken yet.
Never.
No, and I hope they don't. Just listen to the sound of this sizzle. That's the podcast. Yeah, Serge does a good job of braising the cow heart as well. You get the good sequencing of that, which is nice. It looks like, this screenshot of him just, like, pouring the jus over top of the cow heart is really appetizing. And then, yes, the spring mix comes out. The cherry tomatoes come out. Where do you think he gets his spring mix and cherry tomatoes? Is he getting, like, store-bought stuff?
Like,
from the grocery
he's
store? Or is
going
he going to markets?
Like, the condo grocery store.
The Longo's underneath his building?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. That's where he's hitting up.
Where is he getting all the cow heart and stuff? Because that's not like a Longo's thing.
Now he must have someone. I bet he had someone before, too, who maybe sourced it for him.
Right.
Because I feel like you're going to a specialty butcher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe he's got someone on the Raptors staff.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
Running out to get that for him.
He really does sell, like, the sniff that he throws on this plate when he puts the cow heart down and finishes the garnish, he lifts up the plate and just like breathes it in. Does he make a sound?
Wait.
Yeah, he just, like, that's just in his lungs now. He's just got beef in his lungs, and he's deep happy sniff. About it. Yeah. A deep beef sniff. All right, we're going to continue on breaking down this 13-minute episode of How Hungry Are You?, through which we are 3.5 minutes. So we'll come back to that in just a second. But first, I want to tell people about our sponsor for today, and that is WiseCam. Wise is the indoor camera that does it all. Wise is packed with premium features that allows you to see everything from anywhere in your home for only $20. 1080p full HD, images so clear you won't miss a thing, night vision and two-way audio. You get it all with Wise. Wise's mission is to bring amazing smart home products and make them accessible to everyone. Check on your home anytime with Wise's app. The Wise app's live stream. Connect with life as it unfolds in sharp focus. Live stream with 8x digital zoom as well. And it's fantastic for anything going on in your house. Whether you want to watch your kids destroying your house, you want to set up like a camera next to where your bird feeder is and just watch some birds, you can do all of that stuff and more and have total comfort in your home with WiseCam. And they have 14-day free rolling cloud storage with no subscriptions to go back and store all those videos for you from inside your home. You want more? They got that too. For just $10 more, WiseCam Pan gives you 360 coverage in under 3 seconds. Life moves fast, your camera should too. 110 degree per second rotation speed, 360 degree horizontal range, and a 93 degree vertical range. Patrol your room with Pan Scan. Set the camera's patrol route with up to 4 custom waypoints. WiseCam Pan automatically detects, tags, and tracks motion within its field of view. Keeping up with life in real time has never been so easy. And also, it works with Alexa. Free rolling 14-day cloud storage and all of the above features you will get with Wise. Go to wise.com/locked to get the guaranteed lowest price. That's wise.com, wyze.com/locked. All right, Katie, let's move on in this odyssey that is this episode of How Hungry Are You? We're now at the point where the Gasols show up. Mark walks in and is very coy and has Pao kind of hide lazily behind a wall. And makes Serge guess who he brought with him, and Serge guesses correctly. Do you think this was staged? Do you think Serge knew all along that Pao was coming, or did Mark actually genuinely surprise him?
I would say at first, I think he's like very convincing. Mm-hmm. His going through his guesses, like then he seems just like extremely casual that it's Pao.
Yeah.
So I think he knew. I think he knew all along. But I like the cinematic. I like his acting abilities, and I really like a coy Mark Gasol, I gotta say.
Yeah, that's true. And Pao is like creepily hiding behind, like looking at the
Sneaky
camera.
Sneaky Pao's
yeah.
great too.
Sneaky yeah. Pao. Yeah. So Pao comes on in, and they sit down for their nice, delicious meal of cow heart. Were there any highlights of the conversation? It's a pretty long conversation between the two, or I guess the three at Serge's table. Are there any highlights for you that you'd like to flesh out here?
I have to be honest, they kind of lost me in this sequence that I felt like went on for too long because they started to talk about soccer. I don't care.
Yeah, the soccer stuff wasn't really
Some
for anybody. It was for them only.
I like them talking about, like, I like when they were showing clips. There's a good clip I never saw. Mark Gasol, like, headbutt the basketball into the net. That was cool.
Yeah.
Very talented. Hope he does that again for us.
Yeah.
But, so I didn't really care about that part. I like when they were starting to talk about players that they played with and they like.
Mm-hmm.
But this was, like, a very long sequence. And then the food part, like, the unveiling. It's only, like, in the last 2 minutes of the whole thing, isn't it? It's just, like, talking, and then it's like, okay, let's eat. And they're like, no problem with this.
Yeah, the conversation begins at about 4:45 or so and goes for a good 6.5 minutes. Like, it is a long chat. And I know we're throwing stones.
I do like them chatting about their looks. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, I like that, too.
The way they describe each other's fashion.
Yeah, what were the exact descriptions? Like, Pao was essentially like, look at this slob compared to me, right? Wasn't that kind of the gist of it there?
He was like, Pao described himself as classical, I think.
Yes, yes. And
something like that.
And Mark was like, I'm just, like, I like to be comfy or something.
Yeah, he's like, I'm comfy, but I think he meant it to be like, cool.
Yeah, I think I found the part. I'm gonna play it because it's a very strange conversation.
Come on, this is fashion. Not telling me this is
fashion.
Yeah, this is
fashion. Something I just put together. I go around the house like that.
Yeah, and I know Pao, different styling. Yes. You're more casual business guy.
One classical.
So,
one.
Who do you think are the best styling? Both you guys.
I think at the end of the day, it's whatever, as Marsh say, whatever you feel more comfortable with and happy with. So his style works well for him. It's more his personality. This is more my style, more classical, more subtle, more elegant.
You guys are fine.
So condescending.
Oh, yeah, subtle and elegant.
More elegant. He's one step away from saying more classy. Like
he's like Mark, you slob.
Yeah, essentially.
You know what? We saw them. We all saw them both on that boat in their fucking gym socks, swimming. So don't lie to me, dolls.
I've kind of thought that since Gasol got to town, when they show those like Instagram walk-in pictures, like I've always thought Gasol looks pretty fresh. Like he had the jean jacket on a couple days ago. He's usually got the very long jacket on when it's cold out. I don't think the criticism from Pau is necessarily fair.
Yeah, maybe it's like the looks he sees at like on him when he's at home. I don't know, like if they're going around together. I'll say like Marc Gasol in the summer, just like all bets are off. He's just in like long soccer shorts and tank tops and flip flops, if no shoes at all. Yeah. And Pau is always keeping it real, going to the vineyards, wearing like a loose linen shirt. So, you know, but also Pau, it's just like he's the older brother.
Yeah.
I feel like he's dressing more classical, elegant in his words. It's fine. I enjoyed this detour, though. I like this is a new genre that a show should get into, like NBA players talking about their own fashion in a casual way.
I agree. Also, I think we should get more NBA players talking about their vegetable gardens.
Yes.
I was a big fan of that whole thing from Marc Gasol about, you know, Serge asked him, essentially, how'd you get less fat? And he was like, I have a vegetable garden now. I need to be a good role model for my kids, I guess, and stop eating Popeyes at 2 a.m. No, wait, that's me. Side note, I had Popeyes on Saturday night. I went in 5 minutes before closing and just said, give me everything you have left. And they gave me...
Give me all what you have left.
Yeah. That's probably how I said it. They gave me 4 spicy chicken tenders because they didn't have 5, but I ordered 3 and they gave me 4. They gave me a deep fried cherry pie, which was delicious. They gave me an extra biscuit and also gave me the rice and beans as well as mashed potatoes and gravy. And I ate it all when I got home, and it's the best fast food experience I've ever had in my entire life. And I'm guessing that's how Marc Gasol ended up packing on the pounds, going to school in Memphis, just like eating a lot of fried chicken and Southern comfort food. So I can relate now, after my Popeyes excursion on Saturday, which I can't describe. I'm still thinking about it. It was so good. But anyway, back to the vegetables. thoughts on Mark's...
Free ad for Popeyes.
Hey, they can send me money anytime or just pay me in rice and beans. I don't care. I want to see a nice rice and bean side from Surgeon one of these days. I think that'd be good too. Anyway, back to... vegetables. Ugh. Thoughts on Marc Gasol's vegetable garden? What do you think he grows in there? Like, how plump are the tomatoes?
Well, that's not news to me, because 2 summers ago when I first started writing NBA Summer Vacation Watch, he was in there. The big things for Mark that summer were he set up a home gym in his dusty garage, and he made a vegetable garden.
Oh, he's talked about it in GQ before, apparently.
Yeah, he loves this veggie garden. Okay. I think from the picture I remember, he looked like he had some really dense leafy things. So I think he had different types of kale, maybe some chard on the go. I mean, he had a good growing season.
Mm-hmm.
I think better than he would have, you know, here, obviously. So
In Spain, right? Is that where his...
No, I think maybe he's got one in Spain, but he also had one wherever he was living when he played for Memphis.
Okay.
And I mean, like, I hope he's got a nicer garage than that in Spain.
I just sent you a picture of him wearing the exact same outfit that you described him to be wearing in the summer, knee-length basketball shorts and a tank top with a very plump tomato that he's staring at. I just sent it to you in the chat. People can, if you just, if people just search Marc Gasol vegetable garden, it's one of the first images that come up.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, he looks pretty skinny in this pic.
He does.
But I guess that's just because he's like here, he's tending to his tomatoes, so yeah. He's taking control of his fitness.
Yes. There's also the Wall Street, Wall Street Journal, when they wrote a piece on him, they did like a cartoon of him, which is very cool looking. He's got eggplant in there. It looks like a watermelon, a zucchini, and some limes, which is an interesting collection. Also, one of the watermelons looks like a basketball. It's a good cartoon. I appreciate it. I would like more. I'd like a show, maybe an offshoot of How Hungry Are You, of just Gasol taking people through his vegetable garden and just like taking fresh bites out of plump tomatoes, the juice running down his hand. That's the kind of sequencing that I think Lorenzo Brown can really sort of capture. So I would like to see that. The conversation, again, continues for a long time after that. They talk about soccer for like a good 3 minutes, just naming the most famous Spanish soccer players. It wasn't even like interesting soccer talk. It was just like, yeah, Iniesta, am I right? Yeah, also, Puyol, very good. Oh, Barcelona and Madrid, good teams, right? And then they kind of like rip on Serge for liking Real Madrid, which is weird. We don't need to stick too long on that conversation. Then it pivots into Serge asking Pau like how to go win titles. And Pau's advice is, I would say, lackluster. I would say lackluster. It's like, you're not, this is not advice. Here,
well,
let's just play.
It's like
Here it is.
Forgot that. Yeah. Don't forget.
No.
So, you know, let's not go there.
This is the soccer part. Here we go.
You, as a champion, what's your advice for us?
My advice is to really believe in your chances, to give it all to make that happen. Make sure that you guys are going to finish at the top. Don't allow anyone to get in your way. I think that that was our mentality when I was in that position.
So he's basically saying, believe in yourself and win. Like, he didn't give any advice on how to do it. He just reiterated the thing that Serge asked, like, how to do.
Yeah, but, like, have you ever heard a not canned response to this question?
True.
Like, it's so intangible. You can't be like, well, physically, here's what you're going to need to do, every single person on the team.
Yeah.
Like, it's like a broad strokes thing. But I will say, I agree with him, and I've written about it, when he says you got to finish at the top and you can't let anyone get in your way, a.k.a. finish with a lot of momentum. I know you don't care about this kind of stuff, but I do.
Right.
And I feel like now's the time to really, like, end on a high note.
That's fair.
Don't slump your way out of the regular season.
Yeah, I think we have different opinions on that, but
seems like Pau agrees with me, so that's fine.
Hey. And he is
got
elegant.
In my corner.
He is elegant. And classical.
My elegant classical pal.
Then it gets weird because they bring in this like very like intense music when they're talking about Kobe, and I hate every second of it. It's like, we don't need.
Yeah, we could skip that part.
Yeah, I don't want to hear about Kobe's.
I like how they were like trying. Okay, I will, because Pau's like trying to humanize him a little bit, but then the music is like extremely dark.
And what does he say? Like, I saw him in the gym one summer.
He's like, I saw him at the gym in Spain, and it's like, of course, fucking Kobe's on a vacation in Spain, and he's like, oh, I saw him at the gym.
Yeah.
And he was depressed. Great.
We don't need any more Kobe talk. We're done with that. We move on to the discussion of Zach Randolph. Do you want me to just play that?
Yeah, this I love.
Okay, here we go.
Oh, it happened.
There's the
you used to play with Zeebo.
Yeah.
I used to play, you know, against him too.
I know.
Very tough guy.
Very
I have a lot of respect. What is one of the funny story about Zeebo?
Zeebo, you know, the image he has, tough guy.
Tough guy.
And like, you know, all that things, like, he's the most lovable guy that you can ever meet. Like, he's so nice,
you know, always had a smile on his face. You know, I remember, like, he was the life of my wedding. Obviously, he MVP. Didn't speak any Spanish. MVP, like,
yes. MVP
like, of the regular season. Regular season, finals MVP. He was the MVP for the whole thing. And everybody, to this day, you know, 5-6 years later, still talk about how much everyone in Spain loves Zibo. So that
Okay.
Everyone in Spain.
Everyone in Spain loves Zibo. Because of, I guess, how lively he was at the wedding. What did he do at this wedding that was so remarkable that he's renowned throughout Spain for it?
This is the thing. I never thought when he's like, everyone's scared of him. I never thought he's scary.
He's a big teddy bear.
Yeah. So I think he was probably just this guy that they're talking about that they love so much in Spain. He just had a great time at the wedding.
Yeah. I mean, he was hardened, I guess, by playing for the Knicks for a little while, but who wouldn't be a little grumpy after that?
Yeah.
He lightened up when he came to the Grizzlies and played with Gasol. He was delightful. I love Zibo.
He went to his wedding.
Yeah, that's so cool. Have there been any Raptors weddings?
No.
You're probably the expert on this from the Summer Vacation Watch.
No, there haven't been, unfortunately. I think Valanciunas is the one that had most recently gotten married, but I don't know if everybody went. But I do like that Gasol, I don't know how long they had played together, but I'm just guessing. But I feel like Gasol's a kind of classy guy who's like, if you're going to invite one guy from the team, then he'd invite everybody.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Like, Vince Carter's definitely get invited, even though he was just there as like an old missionary, like, just kind of there for 1 year. I can't think of anyone else. Like,
and he'll be
Jamal
like,
Adams, Jordan Adams.
He's not going to be like, I got to chop my list down. He'll be like, yeah. You come, bring a plus one.
Yeah.
It's a celebration.
He's covering the flights for the G League guys.
Probably.
Do you think Zibo was in the wedding party?
No.
No?
Okay. No.
I don't, they played together for a long time. They're good buddies, I think. No, probably not.
Do you think Tim Duncan was?
Why would he have been in Gasol's wedding party?
They're friends.
Are they? Why don't I know? You know more about the cool stuff than I do. Tim Duncan, Mark. That's where Mark Gasol gets his...
No, Mark. Pau.
Oh, Pau. Well, it's Mark's wedding they're talking about, isn't it?
Aren't they talking about Pau's wedding?
No, it's Mark's wedding. I was going to say, like, maybe that's where Marc Gasol gets his dumpy way of dressing from Tim Duncan, if they're good buddies.
Whoa, slow down. We got to get back on track.
Do we? Really? Yeah. Really? All right.
We got another two-parter on our hands pretty soon.
Well, what are we at here? We're only at like 38 minutes. That's fine. We can skip ahead to like the end of the conversation.
The big reveal?
Yeah. Oh, no. We got to talk about... They talk about Kawhi. And then there's the very, very deliberate like jab against... Okay, here it is.
What happened? Trust me.
Well, it's hard to happen twice. Against the same team.
I mean, it's very good editing that they finished the conversation with Kawhi stealing it from DeMar and dunking. We've talked about the, the conflicting emotions at play anytime we watch that play, but...
Yeah,
you cannot knock the editing there and the sequencing and the conversation that led into it, and then using the clip and then just going straight to the reveal, so there's no chance for Pau to rebut. I don't know, thoughts on the whole like Kawhi conversation they had. It wasn't really much.
No, didn't give me anything new.
No, and also it was the end of like 6 minutes of them talking about everything, so I was just like, all right, get to the food, man.
I feel like they were like, oh yeah, we got to talk about him a little bit. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's obligatory now. It's for the clicks, you know?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Wait, what am I doing? Yeah, let's just... Here we
today,
go.
Today, I cooked. Call heart.
A heart?
Yeah, call heart.
Oh, heart. It sounds like Tommy Wiseau saying, oh, hi, Mark. Well, hi, heart. he looks, Mark seems very, very unfazed. Powell, he has a bit of a grimace on his face in the still image I'm paused on right now. But I think he's pretty much on. Let's play the rest of the reveal.
Protein, yeah, before.
I have actually.
Oh, yeah, where
is it? Stuff made in Spain, yeah.
Oh, yeah, in Spain. Okay, yeah. Good then. Okay.
So, Serge doesn't know that this is a thing that people eat in Spain?
Yeah, that was surprising to me.
So he makes paella for somebody. They're like, yeah, I ate this in Spain. Oh, really? he cuts off a piece. The piece looks delicious. It's a very small piece that he gives to Mark. It's like a very, very small portion. But maybe he's trying to, like, is he sending Mark a signal or something? I don't know. But we can continue on with this.
Looks similar to
liver.
Yeah. Okay, all right, let's do it. Let's go. Hey, tell me, what do you think?
Mm. Really good.
What do you think about the song?
Not really well. I think it's the other way, but it's okay.
He's putting salt on it after the fact, and he's getting critiqued by Mark on his inability to properly shake the salt, which, to someone who loves the salt as much as Serge Ibaka does, I feel like was probably a bit of a thing Mark didn't have to do in Serge's home. The plate is very, very minimalist. It's just like a little piece of cow heart for each of them. I don't
just
know.
The taste.
I don't know if they were like, yeah, don't like keep the rest for leftovers, Serge. Like, we don't want any salad. Just, I don't know what it was, or if Serge is trying to keep some for himself. It's very strange the way that they're
no one's really eaten a meal on this show.
I'm pretty sure Jonas ate like the entire pig's head.
Yeah, but
he's like, give
like,
me more.
Was, like, they were kind of pulling off of it. Like, that was part of the eating it, and he was obviously very comfortable with it.
Yeah, true.
And then DeLon going in on the brains.
Mm.
If you all remember.
Oh,
he
yeah.
He kept going back for more.
Yeah, he was a big fan of the brains. That's right. So, yeah, not much in the way of, like, them and just like, they're not gorging themselves by any means. But, let's continue on here.
Good job. Perfect.
It's good.
Good job, sir.
Thank you. That's awful.
Serge is like, it's good. Compliments to the chef, myself. But yeah, very underwhelming, because it's like done. They're wrapping it up now. It's extremely underwhelming. What more could they have done with this reveal? I feel like there's like way more they could have done.
I don't know. Maybe in the presentation? Maybe
yeah.
Put it in like a discarded Valentine's Day chocolate heart-shaped box. but otherwise, I don't know. Like, it doesn't look bad. Neither of them are surprised. I'm sure they've both had it before in some, like, tapas form.
Yeah.
I want to know how much salt Mark likes to put on his food, because we saw Serge put a lot of salt on that thing.
Yeah, that was quite a bit. And he'd already salted it, of course, when he was making it, which seems a little over the top. I do like at the end, the closing minute or so, it's not, you know, Serge screaming in fear of snakes or anything, but it is Serge and Mark talking in Spanish as
this
if Serge can't hear them.
This was my favorite.
I'll just play it because it's very, very, like, good. Here we go.
Be careful. Be careful. I understand Spanish.
Oh.
Sabes que yo también hablo español.
Ay, perdona.
Cuidado.
Se me olvidaba.
Cuidado, cuidado.
I forgot. ¿Te gusta el reggaetón o no?
Yo, sí. Mucho. ¿Y tú?
And then they start talking about reggaeton.
Yes, they do. Oh, yeah, I forgot. They, like, they totally just go off into
they're
a conversation
like,
about music. That's right.
Yeah, they're like, do you like, Mark is so, also he's, like, so ready to talk about this.
Yeah, he's like, I'm done talking about soccer. Like, who's
he's
your
like,
favorite singer?
Do you like reggaeton? Who do you like?
It depends. but now, he's putting thought into it. Carol G. Do you know who Carol G is?
No.
Well, Serge does. He says, oh, Carol G, I know her.
Yeah, they're great friends.
Yeah,
but
name three
like
albums, Serge. Name three albums.
Him. Yeah. And I think that probably gives some light to why Pao seemed hesitant to eat it.
Yeah.
Is because he said he thought he was going to be a terrible cook.
That's also true. I wonder, though, there's a bit of a grin there when Serge is like, hey, I know Spanish. First of all, they play for the Spanish national team. I would hope Marc Gasol
like
and Pau Gasol.
Forgot that he lived in Spain, so.
True,
that's fair.
But like it feels like Gasol and Pau should maybe know that Gasol speaks Spanish or that Ibaka speaks Spanish. No, like
maybe they just think he's rusty, and they're speaking in like very quickly and
yeah,
fluently.
Fair enough. Although didn't he? There was like a whole thing last year in the playoffs where he answered a question in English, French, and Spanish in succession in one of the post games. Like, I guess Pau and Marc wouldn't have watched it, but I don't know. Feels like Serge's knowledge of languages is pretty like well known.
Oh, yeah, he's a worldly man. It made me feel very, like, happy. I was like, man, Serge, like, speaks many beautiful languages.
Oh, yeah, it's outstanding. He probably, like, I think it's, like, 7 languages?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
There's one thing at the end I want to get to. It's something that startled me earlier when he first greeted Marc Gasol. Here we go.
Osuma.
I think
Osuma.
It's right now.
Osuma's
very, Osuma's very good.
J Balvin? Oh, si, J Balvin, si, carta.
Yeah. The clap. Serge's claps and high fives are extremely loud. I don't know.
He's got huge hands.
I guess that's the very simple explanation for it. But his like high fives are like jarringly loud. It just like pierces the ear just a little bit. His clap was very loud too. An unnecessary clap too. I don't know what he was clapping about. J Balvin is very good, I suppose. But that brings us to the end of the episode.
Let's wrap it up.
Yeah. He's probably telling us to do the same on the podcast. That's the
I
end of the episode.
Talk about his kitchen first. No.
What about his kitchen? It's the same kitchen he was in for the first
are
one,
you
wasn't
not...
it?
No. I don't think these... I think these lights are new, these hanging lights. He has a full bar.
Oh, the shelves in the back are...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's got a few more, like, decor items.
Hold
it
on.
Looks a little bit more pulled together than it has in the past.
How hungry are you, Danny Green, Serge Ibaka? We can easily check if this is the same kitchen.
It's a nice kitchen.
Yeah. Was he back? Was he in Toronto for the All-Star break? Because I believe they filmed this at All-Star. Is this the kitchen that he had DeMar in? No.
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 So this is a new kitchen.
He was, like, in L.A. somewhere on, like, I feel like someone's house randomly.
Yeah. Well, let's see where he's cooking. Yeah, no, like, everything in his kitchen in the new episode is all, like, white finishes and everything. It's black finishes and everything in the previous episode. So, yeah, he is, like, totally gotten... I don't know if this is, like, in his house kitchen or if it's just, like, a kitchen he's had made
either
for the show.
Either he's moved or had a... huge kitchen reno, which is why it took so long to film these.
That would make sense.
Anyway, it looks great. Serge, if you're listening, I love it.
It is a very good kitchen. It's bright. It looks it's much more suited for the cooking show than the one that, with all the black finishes. The other one's very dreary. This one is bright and lively, and I could see...
He's entertaining here. He's ready to entertain.
Yeah, like I could see Giada De Laurentiis making some sort of large family Italian feast in this kitchen.
Yeah, he should have a guest cook on.
He should. Like Serge and like Chef Michael Smith, who's just like the sweetest man, apparently. Yeah, I'm just here to make some food with my friend, Serge Ibaka. It might not have been the best Michael Smith impression, but whatever.
Not your best.
Or you just get like Gordon Ramsay in there to do like the mean Gordon Ramsay, where he just like eviscerates him. That'd be kind of fun, too.
I don't want to see that.
You call these fucking pig bowls?
When's the next one dropping?
I think, like, this week. We're, like, a few days late. He's got 4 to drop. I think they're supposed to drop before the playoffs, so don't hold me to that, but I do think that's the case. So, we'll definitely reconvene. Katie, this was fantastic. Thank you so much for wasting 55 minutes of your afternoon with me, but I very much appreciate it, and I'm sure the people do as well.
Not a waste.
Fair. Well, not a waste for like...
For anyone.
Yeah, I suppose. All right. Well, anything you'd like to plug?
No. some stuff coming up. I'll plug another time. Basketball feelings. Wrote a big thing this week about Jason Kidd and what it means to be progressive and experience growth, especially now that it's spring.
Mm-hmm.
You could give that a read if you like.
Basketball feelings rules. I've said it many times before. Also, your Kyle Lowry piece was very good, too. Rappers Republic, am I correct?
Oh, thank you. Yeah. No, it was for Real GM.
Oh, that's right. Okay, read the Kyle Lowry piece. Kyle Lowry has been the subject of some very good writing by some of my favorite writers this year. You, Colin McGowan. That's about it. But it's been very good, and I appreciate it.
Thanks, buddy. Yeah. He's like an amazing... I feel like he's always been a fantastic person to write about, but this year the complexities of like not just what he's doing on court, but what I was writing about, like what he's doing off court and what he's going to do more of.
Mm-hmm.
And just like he's really undergone this transformation where he's like kind of stepped into himself more independently without DeMar. Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. He's just like a very complex, fascinating person.
I cannot disagree with you there. Read Katie's piece. And Katie, thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon, I'm sure, whenever the next episode drops or if other things come up that we need to talk about. People, please subscribe, rate, review on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, and Himalaya, the new podcast app that is all about curating your podcast experience and personalizing it. And you can find the Locked On Podcast Network on there on Himalaya. You can also find my work at Raptors HQ. Wednesday morning, we'll be dropping the Sweet 16 of the Kawhi Leonard is staying bracket, myself and Jay Rosales. So make sure you tune in for that and read all of the probably 4,000 words we're going to put to paper on that thing. And thanks for all the kind words the people have sent in about the bracket. It's been a lot of fun. I'm glad that we've been able to ensure Kawhi is staying one matchup at a time, and or just like, I guess, reflect on all the reasons why he's definitely staying one matchup at a time. Anyway, I'm going to wrap this up. My rib really hurts, so I'm going to stop talking and start taking some deep breaths so I don't get pneumonia. And that's going to do it. We'll talk to you next time on Locked On Raptors.